everyone. Melissa Abbott here, Vice President of Hartman Retainer Services. And today on our podcast, I am joined by Ralph Carlton, who's co-CEO of King Arthur Baking Company. We have a really interesting conversation about how baking has really skyrocketed during the pandemic. And we talk a little bit about indulgence, as well as various ways that health and wellness have impacted baking during the pandemic, and what King Arthur is their vision for the future. So sit back and enjoy my conversation with Ralph Carlton. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Insatiable Appetite podcast for people who are in the serious business of food, making it, marketing it, selling it, and serving it. We are very fortunate today to have Ralph Carlton, co-CEO of King Arthur Baking, joining us today. Welcome, Ralph.
Hi there. It's great to be here.
Wonderful. It's so nice to be connecting with King Arthur Baking again, Ralph. We last had the good fortune of interviewing Karen Kohlberg, your co-CEO, for an article published in our October newsletter just back in 2020. And in our discussion with Karen, we learned all kinds of interesting things relating to the intersection of the pandemic, from consumer interest in baking, and of course, your company, King Arthur Baking. One thing was for sure, at that time, consumers were certainly keeping your baker's hotline very busy. Is that continuing on right now?
It certainly is. It's been quite a year. When you spoke to Karen, things were moving along at breakneck pace. And while things have slowed down a little bit, volumes on our hotline and pretty much everything about our business is at significantly higher levels than we saw pre-pandemic.
Wow. Yeah. And you noted last fall that you thought baking had become a national pastime, which excites me personally. And you described how consumers who previously just baked a few times a year were now baking a few times a month or more. Are you still seeing that same demand for baking ingredients and interest in baking that you saw just last year?
We are still seeing it. The peak was over the spring and the summer, where, as you pointed out, many new bakers started baking, which is absolutely wonderful. We're so excited about it. And people who were bakers before spent a lot more time baking, and it increased the business at times two or even threefold. Over the fall, it slowed down a little bit, but was still way above levels we had ever seen before. And by Christmas time, though, baking, because everyone bakes at holiday time, it actually wasn't up that much year over year. But what we have seen for the first quarter this year are volumes kind of, depending on the business, up anywhere from 10 to 15% in kind of traditional baking items. But bread baking continues to be up 30 to 50%, which is absolutely wonderful.
That's incredible, 30 to 50% in bread baking. I think we're going to have to, you know, do a loop back on the topic of bread, just thinking about what, you know, the symbolism of bread in our culture today and all of the, you know, unique diets that kind of can impact that as well. And, you know, in our research, we've certainly seen a rise and then a general decline in terms of interest in cooking and baking as consumers turn to some of their old behaviors in terms of sourcing foods from restaurants, in step with pretty heavy cooking fatigue. But at the same time, all of their newfound enthusiasm for the kitchen seems to have really galvanized this ongoing interest in how health and wellness, culinary discovery, and exploration of new recipes and cooking and baking techniques can all fit together. So related to these trends, we saw recently that you were describing some new King Arthur baking product introductions in an interview with Yahoo Finance. And that included a baking sugar alternative, a keto wheat flour blend, and a sourdough starter, which is interesting given the topic that you were just mentioning, how bread baking has seen this really interesting increase. So these seem like very focused and interesting new products that are very much in step with consumer trends these days.
thank you for pointing them out. We're really excited about our new products this year. That came out, it was hard in the midst of the pandemic and all the focus on the traditional products. But we're really happy to go to market with some really exciting new products. The baking sugar alternative is one we've worked on for a period of time and is a very unique product. As you know, you guys know better than anyone, reduction in sugar is just a key nutritional trend right now, in particular now that it's on pack. The challenge has been that sugar in baking is not only just a matter of taste, but it performs functionally too and provides structure to what you bake. So baking without conventional sugar produces a less than satisfactory result. If you bake icing with, for instance, or make icing with one of the conventional sweetener alternatives right now, you end up with something that is basically a puddle. Not all that great. But the folks in our R&D shop worked for a long period of time to come up with something that bakes with natural alternatives, but provides the same baking experience you get with sugar. And that's what we've achieved with the baking sugar alternative. It's a one-for-one product, and you could bake the most difficult recipes and have results, depending on what you're baking, that are virtually indistinguishable in terms of taste and texture from a product made with sugar.
That's fascinating. That's absolutely fascinating. And you alluded to this, but the fact that you have your R&D team who really understands not just R&D, right, and the science and technology behind baking, but there's also a love of baking that within King Arthur. That's within the community, it's within your culture as a company that understands that flavor and deliciousness is perhaps more important than even the latest diet trend. So it really wonderful to hear that consumers are, yeah, as you said, we know that consumers are very interested in avoiding sugar in many ways, but as much as they talk about avoiding it, the actual avoidance is something, you know, because they can't have baked goods, to your point. So this is a very exciting introduction. And, you know, certainly health and wellness, as we're talking about right now, it's a megatrend that we've seen only gain strength over the years, culminating during the pandemic in an even more pronounced and accentuated focus as consumers have sought to bolster the immunity and resilience at the same time. And, you know, there's been a search for comfort and pleasure from food. So that relishing of iconic, nostalgic experiences, things that you can sometimes only get from, you know, true baked goods with sugar in them, right? So we've seen consumers seeking these qualities often as a form of indulgence from their foods and from cooking, especially during the stresses of being quarantined at home. Could you talk a little bit about how you see indulgence as a positive in terms of the baking category?
Baking, a significant portion of baking is driven, particularly desserts, by indulgence. Always has been, always will be, and we are big believers in it. We believe that baking makes people happy, and there are many different ways to make people happy, and I'd certainly stress indulgence. But also for some people, it is around health and wellness and finding an ability to have bread and other parts of their diet in a way that people feel are better nutritionally. The other thing we've seen through the pandemic has been almost the maker movement, the involvement of the baker in the creation of the product. And that is just a really, really important trend. And finally, something that's been around for a while, but I think important in the pandemic, is just a household, the baker having control over their diet, knowing what the ingredients are and customizing it to exactly what they want.
Do you see that as some, you know, perhaps silver lining that we've experienced this last year, is that, you know, when we're out and about and going here and there and picking up a bakery item or bread, whatever the baked item might be, that now that we're, you know, as home cooks, a little bit more aware, perhaps, than we were prior to the pandemic. You know, things that kind of we let slip through, that perhaps this has enabled the home baker, the home cook, to be a little bit more educated in some ways and aware of actually what the ingredients are that they're actually consuming. Has that been something that you've seen as well?
It is something we believe that's going on. It's a wonderful point. One, in terms of focus on what's in a product, and as people bake and see what the ingredients are, they have a chance to ask the baker at the bakery what's in their product. It also plays out in quality. When you bake at home, even if you're just an okay baker, the quality is usually pretty good. And it hopefully raises the bar as to what you expect when you go out.
Yeah, it makes the house smell pretty good too. I think that's also a bonus, right? You know, one thing is just, you know, I've been a follower, an Instagram follower, I should say, of King Arthur for some time as a home baker myself. And I've just been really impressed with your social media outreach. And with so many online resources today for consumers to scout recipes, these days, you know, I have to say your presence, your social media presence is particularly inspiring because of that inclusivity that it provides for today's home baker. And you've really created a community giving professional bakers the spotlight and encouraging home bakers to weigh in. Yeah, how do you see social media continuing to play a role in the future of home baking and King Arthur?
First, thank you for noticing our social media and our website. It's something we work very hard on. We're really proud of. King Arthur is built around the baker. We're not a product company. We're really a company out there to serve the baker and to build community through baking. And when you look at what it takes to be a baker at any level, it's not just product, and we're really happy to provide quality products and tools and other things, but you need knowledge and you need inspiration to bake well. Baking, as you know, is much more precise than cooking. So going back decades, really, the company has put a great focus on making sure one way or another that we're providing that kind of knowledge and inspiration to the baker. And it's it's an integral piece of who we are as a company right now. And we do it through social, through the web, through email, and we do it to hundreds of thousands of people. And we believe that it really builds out the baking experience for everyone. And hopefully, as a consumer marketer, sets us apart from others in the baking space.
Yeah, and it seems too that the other professional bakers who are out there these days, who also do happen to be really great and savvy with utilizing social media, they often wind up being on your social media feed. So there's almost like this really interesting way to go and connect with, as you mentioned, community and bringing, you know, bakers together, that there's not just what I see it too is this beauty of connecting the home baker and that professional baker, that it's not like this very, you know, strict dichotomy. And so that, I think, too, is something that I see is encouraging more home bakers to be involved and to be inspired. So, you know, I just have to say that's a really amazing thing to see. And it's a lot of young bakers, too, of very varied backgrounds, multicultural, bringing their expertise, you know, various holidays and things like that. So, you know, is that something that's new to the way that you at King Arthur see the evolution of where King Arthur is going, bringing in more of these varied voices and presences? Is that something that has been part of King Arthur for a long time?
A couple of thoughts there. First, in terms of the professional baker, going back, I think we're talking hundreds of years,
yeah,
King Arthur has sold flour in larger quantities to the professional baker. And what sets us apart with the professional baker is same with the home baker. It's the quality of our flour. So today, and it's an integral piece of our strategy, we have a division that serves the food service arena. And we, because of the quality of our flour and our approach to baking, get to work with some of the best bakers in the country. So what you've just described is just a very, very natural fit for us and one of the reasons we stay involved in that business. We also are working for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is the whole commitment of the company to be a more inclusive company, to make sure that we are bringing recipes from different ethnicities and different cultures into our baking school, into our social, and into our other places. That's just a really important piece for us, and we hope it's something our bakers enjoy too.
Yeah, it's a really wonderful to be able to experience, you know, especially as a baker who's used to cooking and baking the same types of things, to be encouraged to experiment in that way. I think it's really commendable. You know, we also are seeing consumers today aspiring to higher quality convenience experiences. And your line of mixes really exemplifies this. You know, whether it's scones to your noteworthy gluten-free options, and I say noteworthy because, I have a gluten-free person in my household and rely on your gluten-free mixes for convenience. So do you see premium convenience as here to stay? Or is there going to be more of a balance between scratch and semi-scratch?
We imagine that it's here to stay. Certainly the pandemic has moved people more in the direction of scratch. And that's one, nothing could make us more excited to see more scratch bakers out there. And going forward, we now have a world of people who've tried to bake and now know that they can bake and bake well. So that increases the pool of scratch bakers. That said, not just because of baking skill, but probably having more to do with occasion. There are many times where a scratch baker relies on a mix. If you are moving very quickly or doing something maybe for a kid's party or something like that, where you don't need the last degree of that scratch quality, people mix, and we are very committed to the mix business. Again, with the same notion that we want a quality product. It's something we're proud to put out there and something we would be proud to eat.
I'm glad you mentioned that about occasions, because eating occasions truly do dictate, you know, whether you could be someone who is highly skilled as a baker, as a home baker, yet you might not know how to do the conversion. You might not feel that confident about doing conversions for specialty diets, whereas there's a trust level there with the mixes that are provided. So that's an interesting point. And I think that idea of, a consumer just doesn't follow one line of, like, if they are a scratch baker, they're always a scratch baker. There's always room for inclusion along the way. And, you know, speaking of gluten-free and specialty King Arthur flours and mixes, there are a lot of gluten-free options out there. And there's something that's very interesting about your focus on culinary quality. And from a marketing standpoint, it really keeps the focus on taste and experience rather than, you know, here is your gluten-free option because you have a medical condition. So what kind of advice might you have for brands who are highlighting dietary sensitivities over deliciousness?
We try to highlight both. It's a great question. The insight I provide is that there's not necessarily a direct correlation between medical diagnosis and what people have in their diet. And this is something I know your company writes about a lot, that people's behavior doesn't necessarily follow what their doctor tells them to do. And this has been very much the case in the baking arena. There has been a transition over time in non-wheat flours that started with gluten-free and is now moving to almond and other types of specialty flours. And a whole variety of people are choosing those alternatives, and only a small percentage of them actually have doctor-approved dietary restrictions. So, you know, the lesson for us, and I think it's a good lesson for everyone, is to understand the consumer behavior behind it. And to be as responsive and, if possible, to lead that consumer behavior.
Yeah, having done a lot of consumer interviews over the years, just thinking of of non-dairy milk, for example, and, you know, that someone might not necessarily have an intolerance or an allergy or sensitivity, but that's what they consume. But they also have milk in the refrigerator. They also have a variety of different things, again, going back to the occasion. And I've been in many homes before, or these days virtually many homes, mm-hmm. where consumers might not have to your point, absolutely, Ralph, is that they don't necessarily have a gluten intolerance, but they are, you know, like the diversity of various flours and like to dabble in different types of things and see, you know, the diversity for their own health, their own immune system. So that's something I think that we see on the from the consumers that we speak to. So I think that's something that we might anticipate, you know, continuing on into the future. And so my next question has a little bit more to do with this idea of, you were talking a lot about the quality of the flour and traditionally how bakers have come to King Arthur because of that very high quality, oftentimes wheat or whole wheat flour. And, you know, from our perspective too, at the Hartman Group, we see, you know, almost like a rebound happening now, going back to whole wheat, but paying more attention to the farming practices. And, you know, there's this rise in interest around regenerative farming. And do you anticipate at King Arthur more conversation connected to soil health and maybe even flavor extending to your flowers?
It's a conversation that's been going on for years within King Arthur. We are a benefit corporation, which means we serve not just our shareholders who happen to be our employees, but also the community and the planet at large. And we're equally committed to serving those groups. And when it comes to serving the planet, our biggest impact starts at the wheat field and goes through flour milling. So we've put a lot of time and energy in trying to identify how you change farming practices to have the smallest environmental footprint. And these days, that takes you to regenerative agriculture. And we have a really high priority in bringing that to life out there at the farm. It's a hard thing to do. We're asking a lot of farmers in terms of changing their practices. But we are hoping we could play a leadership role in making that happen.
And is that something that, you know, that is an internal objective, or do you also hear that coming from consumers as well?
Frankly, it's more internally generated right now. We are believers in that. We believe to be the kind of company we want to be as employee owners, we need to take the lead on that. There's certainly a set of consumers out there for whom regenerative ag is important. When we ask consumers what's important in choosing a flower right now, I would be lying if I said that your regenerative agriculture practices were in the top 10 list. Yeah. We hope to change that, though. And that's what's exciting about what we're doing. We really are not driven by the consumer side right now. We're driven by doing what the right thing is for the planet and believe that we could bring the consumer along.
Yes, and I would even say that you folks at King Arthur there are surely early adopters. You are one of the founding members of the B Corp, and you mentioned that just a moment ago. There's so many companies working to become benefit corps these days. And did becoming a B Corp alter the way that King Arthur did operated or did business?
No, actually, and I'll borrow my co-CEO Karen's comment here. Many people say we acted like a B Corp before there was a B Corp. This goes back to the founding family, the Sands family, who always operated in the best interest of the employees and the community, and were just fervent believers that if you did the right thing, good things would happen. So it's more a case that when B Corp came along, we found a new way to do business that aligned with the way we already were doing business. That isn't to say we're not learning from being part of the B Corp community going forward. One of the great things of being part of the B Corp community is you are benchmarking yourself versus the practices of the best companies in the world. And it's constantly challenging us to do better, particularly on the environmental front.
Yeah, and your point about that you're looking to really incorporate more regenerative farming practices going forward because it's the right thing to do, and knowing and seeing all of the other things where, you know, you're owned by you're a company that's owned by its own employees, you're one of the first B Corp members. There's a lot of firsts that King Arthur has really proven to show that you are very forward thinking. And does it seem to you that the soil health is going to be something moving forward is going to be critical for all companies in the food industry?
Absolutely. Even in the past 2 years, we've seen, from our perch at least, we have seen much, much greater interest at the farm level, at the intermediate level, at the mill level, in looking at these advanced farming practices. You know, 3 or 4 years ago, it was something that was loosely discussed. A lot of the soil health practices were around organic. And with carbon sequestration and the importance of that and the growth of companies who are involved in this now, we see it, at least from where we sit, on the top of everyone's list at this point in time.
Excellent, excellent. And thinking of health and wellness and indulgence, you know, where they're headed, where do you see this headed next? Is it going to be involved with more of this, you know, what we're just talking about, this idea of carbon sequestration? Is health going to move beyond just the me and move out more towards the we for the average consumer, or, you know, for baking in general?
Well, we certainly hope it moves towards the we. I'm not sure we have a special crystal ball in terms of figuring that out. In terms of indulgence and health and wellness, we believe those are two trends that are going to be relevant to baking going forward. And arguably, there may be a yin and a yang between the two of them. And there are days of the week where bakers are going to want to bake and not particularly worry about the nutritional quality of what they're doing. And there are other days when the nutritional quality is paramount. And I think that's the world we need to compete in.
Yeah, I think that idea of the balance is a great way to look at it. We're not moving towards becoming, you know, completely avoidance of things that we enjoy and the idea of indulgence. But it's, again, the yin and the yang, the balance is really where we're moving towards, or becoming more aware of the fact that that is actually, you know, where we are able to feel better as people and as humans, you know, where we are able to indulge and also able to pull back when necessary. Shifting gears a little bit and just thinking about your website and how it's laid out and the many products that are on there. With the pandemic, we've heard from a lot of consumers that have been, you know, relying more on e-commerce. And just curious about how D2C, direct-to-consumer, has played a role in King Arthur's business, baking business, in the last year.
The website mimicked the growth in the wholesale business right at the start of the pandemic and went up at various times 4, 5, and 6-fold. It was crazy back in the spring. But now, even more than the wholesale business, our direct-to-consumer business is effectively double what it was at pre-pandemic levels. So with people at home, with people not going to stores, hopefully with people having learned how to shop with us and seeing the assortment and quality of product that we have, we feel we have hit a somewhat new plateau in terms of where the direct-to-consumer business is. It's very exciting for us.
It really is, and it's a wonderful place to explore, too. I like the idea of learn, but I hear more from consumers that it's a you know, they like to go to particular types of websites where they can learn, where they can experience and discover. And it's not just about this, like, here's the enumeration of things that you have on your website, but they're really, it's a level of engagement that tends to reflect your social media presence as well. So it's interesting to see how it kind of runs throughout all of your communications as well. So is that something that you as a company have been working for some time, to just have everything be very streamlined in terms of communications?
Yes, we think of ourselves in the knowledge and inspiration as a content creator. Not something you think of a CPG company, but we are a content creator in the baking area, and the team, who's absolutely as good as any team out there in terms of publishing, make sure that our content is appearing on all our platforms, be it social, be it on the web, through email. They're all important, and it's just wonderful to hear you talk about the breadth of experience that our website provides, because that really, we work very hard at that. And as I said earlier, we hope it's what sets us apart as time goes on.
And just as a cookbook collector and myself, perhaps too many, what role do you see your cookbook, your recently published cookbook, also playing a role in, even though consumers still go to the internet to get those recipes and do the search versus, you know, having that hard copy right there?
Essential. We are so proud of the updated version of our cookbook. And just like yourself, there are many, many people out there who rely on a cookbook as their source of inspiration and knowledge. And we feel strongly that we need to ultimately take our content and go where the consumer is and how they're using it. And as you have said, there's a multiplicity of ways that it's being used, and there will be new ones in the future, and we're going to have to adapt to make sure we're there too.
Very exciting. Very exciting. Well, this has been very fascinating, Ralph. And as always, we are so grateful you've taken the time to meet with us and chat. And we look forward to the days ahead, hopefully a little bit less dominated by a pandemic, where we can learn more about where food culture and baking are headed next. But are there any other thoughts that you may want to share with our listeners, Ralph, regarding where you see baking and King Arthur moving in the near or long-term future?
The only thing I'd add is I think our entire employee owner base is just thrilled that out of something that was not a good thing, the pandemic, so many people are baking. We couldn't have dreamed of it or asked for it beforehand. And we're a company of bakers who love to bake. And the fact that so many people are either new to baking or are baking more inspires us as we go forward. And thank you for taking the time to learn more about us.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. And I look forward to perhaps a part two where we could learn a little bit more about your cooking school over here in the Pacific Northwest, where the Hartman Group is located in the Pacific Northwest. I know you guys are over in Vermont, but perhaps we could do a part two and learn a little bit more about your cooking school up in Skagit here in the Seattle area.
We'd love to do that. As you know, we have a school, but we're also very closely associated with the Bread Lab there, which is an extraordinary institution and I think a fun one to discuss.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I look forward to that. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Ralph. And thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in. And until next time, thank you so much.